Food has become ground zero in our efforts to increase awareness of how our choices impact the world. Yet while we have begun to transform our communities and dinner plates, the most authoritative strand of the food web has received surprisingly little attention: the grocery store, the epicenter of our food gathering ritual. Through analysis and inspiring stories and examples of American and Canadian food co-ops, Grocery Store is a new book that makes a case for the transformation of the grocery store as the emerging frontier in the local and good food movements. John Steinman has studied and worked with All Things Food for over two decades, and it is a great pleasure to welcome him. Again, the name of the new book is Grocery Store: The Promise of Food Co-ops in the Age of Grocery Giants. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Pleasure to be here. Thank you. And I should say, you know, the title of the book has been throwing a few people off because often when we see grocery store, we think grocery store. But in this case, it is grocery story. And Google search results are also making it hard to get that result up.
It's grocery story. And the book is out. And so what led you? First of all, I want to just in the time we have, I want to remind you're here today. But you have, man, you have a tour. So you're going to be in Williamstown today. You're going to be in Williamstown, Massachusetts tomorrow at the Wild Oats Market. And I'll talk about this later. Mm-hmm. But then you'll be back here in Albany on Saturday at the Honest Weight Food Co-op. And then you're going to be in Chatham on Monday and Plattsburgh on Tuesday. So you're all over the place.
Yeah. So, you know, writing a book about food co-ops, I didn't have the capacity, being all the way out in British Columbia, to travel as far abroad as I could to research the book. So most of it was done over the phone. Now that I have the book in hand, this is my opportunity to go out and visit upwards of, I'm tracking about 130 co-ops between now and the end of the year that I'm going to go and visit and bring this book into those communities.
And in most cases, these events, which will give people the website too, which is grocerystory.coop, and people can find out where you're going to be. But you'll be there. You'll talk to people and sign the book and all that good stuff.
I'm going to be spending time in the stores with my book, talking it up, and then also mostly speaking in the evenings at a lot of these stores.
Okay, so why co-op? So what is the promise of a co-op? Why do we need more co-ops, in your opinion?
Well, you know, our grocery store sector has evolved to a point where we only have a handful of grocery stores. I call them grocery giants now, really controlling the food system. And by controlling the food system, I mean any food that's being produced has to go through this tiny bottleneck of this handful of grocery giants. So, for example, in the United States, there are five companies controlling 67% of all of the grocery dollars coming into those stores. And food co-ops, they present an alternative. They present an alternative space that farmers can sell into, or food makers of all types, whether it's a manufactured product, a baked good. And for eaters, it offers us an alternative space to go and purchase food. And generally, food co-ops, in fact, in all cases, food co-ops are centered in their communities. They're headquartered in their communities, and the people working in those stores live in those communities. And the biggest decisions affecting that store are being made by people who understand the communities they operate in.
You're going across the country, and you're both here and in Canada, and you're visiting co-ops. Are they all created equal in the sense of the mission?
There's one founding element that all food co-ops abide by, and those are what are called the cooperative principles. And so these are seven principles that were established in one form or another in the mid-19th century. And co-ops all across the world, whether it's a food co-op or a worker co-op or a farmer co-op, a credit union, almost all of them abide by these principles. And so beyond that, though, food co-ops take on many forms. Some food co-ops are very specific to serving a market that is interested in natural and organic foods. And then you have other co-ops, like some of the ones I was just visiting in upstate New York, who are trying to serve the communities in which they operate, which are mixed-income neighborhoods, perhaps not necessarily consumers who are interested in local or organic foods, but are interested in just getting access to food because there's no other grocers in the neighborhood.
John Steinman is our guest. His new book is Grocery Story: The Promise of Food Co-ops in the Age of Grocery Giants. You make the point in the book, which I found surprising, actually. I figured it, but the co-ops have been around for a long time. I mean, this idea of co-ops has been around into the 30s and 40s.
I think the idea of people coming together and pooling their resources so they can benefit from, for example, buying food or buying grain en masse and getting a cheaper product because it's all being divvied up and passed out to those members. That kind of practice, I think, has been centuries, if not millennia, in the making. The formalizing of that began mostly in the mid-19th century and had really started ramping up in the early part of the 20th century.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you look at where we are now, so we can talk about the grocery giants, but co-ops are very powerful. I mean, just looking in this market, and I mean, the stores that you are going to are powerhouses in our region.
They're powerhouses, specifically, I think, when we see them as a powerhouse, they're powerhouses for a local economy.
Well, at least they are for NPR listeners. Go ahead.
You know, in the communities that co-ops operate, they generally become these hubs of community activity. They become these locations where farmers can sell into where otherwise they would not be able to. And so, you know, in my community, I'm from Nelson, British Columbia. Our co-op in a town of 10,000 people has 13,000 members because we're a central hub for the entire region. And, you know, we act as this economic hub of activity by investing and donating some of that grocery dollar to nonprofits operating in the community. So in that sense, they're definitely a powerhouse, but they're also in the shadows of these giants.
Sure.
And they're not, they can't escape being a part of that.
They're a big part, and but not big enough, right? I mean, they still have, and one of the things that is the elephant in the room, of course, is price, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how do co-ops get around that?
Well, you know, there's many ways. I think the first part that is the bigger picture is that this low-priced culture of food, that is to try to produce food as cheaply as possible and sell it as cheaply as possible. This is a culture that I track in the book, has been evolving over the past 100 years. So for us to unwind that, I think, is going to take many decades to come. The effect of that, though, however, has been that farmers generally in this country and in Canada, where I'm from, have to rely on off-farm income to be able to sustain those farms. So what we've created is essentially an economy that is what I call a false economy, where the people producing our food are subsidizing that food with other employment. And so this is the result of a low-cost culture that has emerged over all of this, all of the past century. So what I like to think is that co-ops, because they are able to pay farmers better or pay farmers more fairly and able to sell food at a price that is more in line with the true cost of food, I think co-ops are perpetuating a different type of a food system, one that's more in line with general theories of economics. On the other hand, of course, all of that doesn't matter to someone who can't afford to eat well. And so what co-ops are doing, I think, really well, some better than others, is trying to make that good food that's generally healthier food that we find on the shelves of food co-ops, they're trying to make that more accessible. So I track in the book quite a few examples of co-ops that offer everyday discounts to people on low-income assistance. There's one co-op that I mentioned in the book in Durham, North Carolina, that offers 20% discounts every single day all across the store to their members.
We have about 30 seconds, but can David beat Goliath?
You know, I don't think it's a battle. I think for food co-ops, this is about creating an entirely different way of seeing our food, an entirely different way of seeing our grocery stores. And I think this is more about choosing a different future rather than having to choose a battle.
So an option.
Mm-hmm.
John Steinman is the author of Grocery Story, The Promise of Food Co-ops in the Age of Grocery Giants. He's going to be all over the place. Williamstown today and tomorrow, Albany on Saturday, Monday in Chatham. You can find out his whole tour by going to grocerystory.coop, grocerystory.coop. John, a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Grocery Story, and you can find out his schedule and where he's going to be at Wild Oats Market, Honest Wade Food Co-op, Chatham Real Food Market Co-op, and North Country Food Co-op, grocerystory.coop.